Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Let's put our hands together for the band. Fantastic worship. And let's just stay on your feet for just a sec. I also have to honour Jason and Michelle. It's so good to have you with us today. And they dug the well for us, church, which is awesome. And the news is, next Monday, can you believe it, we get the keys for our new building. Yeah, so good. I tell you what, I'm nearly kicking them out already. Eh? I keep going there and visiting, just telling them to hurry up, but they'll get there. We can wait a week. And so good. But, you know, in honour to you guys, you dug that well for us. And many years has gone by. 21 years this has been a church. 21 years ago, a dream was birthed. And today, you know, the fruits over the years, but now into our own home in this community is just unbelievable. So thank you for your faith is what I want to thank you for, is your faith. And church, I want to thank you for your faith because we're able to continue to build upon the shoulders of great people, which is just absolutely fantastic. Well, are you ready for the word? Awesome. Why don't you declare out loud, today my heart is open, my ears are alert to grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's our prayer today. Take your seats. And I'm excited about this word. Now, the first service, like I just spat it out for the first service. I had, I think, 10 minutes to preach and I've got like 2 hours worth of notes here. And so they just got it. But you guys are going to get the gold today. Are you ready for the gold?
Yes.
And talking about gold, I went to youth on Friday night. And that was gold. And have you been ice skating before? Anyone been ice skating before? Yeah. I learned the lesson that when you're 40 years old, it's not good to fall down on the ice. I'm so bruised. I'm struggling to even breathe up here. If I need help, not mouth to mouth. Okay, my wife, just send Melanie up and we'll educate. What? On a good pash. How to do it. Anyway, word of God. Nebuchadnezzar. Hey, this is what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to us today about driven by purpose, being driven by purpose. One of the most important things that humanity or each individual, each person can know is their purpose. And, you know, as I've been living my 40 amazing years, I've come to realize that when a person doesn't have purpose, they just let life happen to them. But who knows that we aren't meant to live letting life happen to us, but we are to dictate what life is meant to look like on planet Earth. God said for mankind to have dominion over the earth, not for the earth and for things to have dominion over us. So we need to have purpose in our lives so we know how to live and we know what to do with our every single day. But here's the crux of my message and then I'll unpack it, is that the things that we do in life or the deeds of life are not our purpose. The deeds, the things we do, the jobs we have, the places we go, the prayers we pray are meant to be fulfilling the purpose that God has played in our life, but them and of themselves is not our purpose. And so when we find ourselves holding up things like our business or our job or our family, like my purpose is to be a good husband. No, that's not your purpose. You be a good husband to outwork your purpose. But being a good husband isn't my purpose. Being a good parent, raising great Christian kids, not your purpose. Having a successful business, not your purpose. These are deeds that are meant to be outworked to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Do you want me to give you the final statement of the message straight away?
Yeah.
We'll just make it easy. Okay, so as I'm unpacking this, what you'll learn is that our purpose is to fulfill the will of God. That's all of humanity's purpose. The word will there in Scripture actually means the purposes of God. So just like John the Baptist, I'm messing up my notes already. This is all over the shop. But just like John the Baptist was to prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ, your purpose is to prepare the return of Jesus Christ. It's called the Great Commission, to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel. It's to live a life of an example of what it is to follow Jesus. It's a life that is lines up with the Word of God. It's literally preparing the soil for the return of Jesus Christ again and for His reign. So this is what I want to do, is I want to unpack this through the life of Daniel. And rather than me giving a history lesson on Daniel and that time of era, I thought I might just speed read Daniel chapter 1. Are we ready to hold on and stay with me for one whole chapter of the Bible? Are we good for this?
Yeah.
All right, let's lean in right now, concentrate. Daniel verse 1, I'm going to skip things. It's going to be all over the place, but you'll get the story. Verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The king instructed the master of his eunuchs to bring some of the children of Israel, which they just took, and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom was no blemish, but good looking, that's important, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. In other words, convert them, brainwash them, re-educate to be the best of the Hebrews in the Hebrew way. In the Chaldeans way. Verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of their time, they might serve before the king. Now, from among those were the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who got renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So that's where this story comes from. Verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and the goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Then there was a 10-day test to see if eating fruit and veggies would weaken or strengthen them. Now, I've got to pause here. When I read this story, I kind of hope that eating fruit and veggies would weaken them. Who's with me today? This is one of those parts of the scripture that you just want to take out, okay? I wish it just said all meat. But verse 15 says, and at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Fruit and veggies are good for you. Where's my kids right now? They're in youth. Verse 16. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine that they drank, that they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for the young man, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of their days, which was 3 years, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all was none found like David, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians, the astrologers, and I said musicians in the first service, but anyway, the magicians, the astrologers, who were all in his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Did you get all that? Give me a thumbs up if you got it. You're still with me. What I want to do today is, as we are talking about driven by purpose, Daniel was a man driven by his purpose. That's why he stood up to the king. Now, the king had all power to grant Daniel power and authority, to grant him the dining at the king's table, to grant him the riches of the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar had this power, but he also had the power to crucify him, to kick him out. And we see with his three friends later, he exercises this power with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We remember that story in the Bible. And so he had the power over Daniel, but Daniel had a righteous thing inside of him that would stand out. He drew lines in the sand. And this is what I want to talk to us about right now, is having three lines like Daniel that we as Christians draw in the sand. And the first one is, the first line is that Daniel drew a line against hunger. Against hunger. Now, Ravi Zacharias says this. He said this. He said, when we move towards the direction of our comfort, God reminds us to never get so comfortable with comforts that it is comfort, it is the comfort principle that ends up driving all that you do. In other words, this, if you relay this to, say, a lazy man, okay, it can be when a person that seeks to do nothing, a person who is lazy, will end up being driven by the purpose of laziness. In other words, when that person wakes up in the morning, they start looking for how to get out of things. Oh, we should look for a job, but they just, you know, it's just all online these days. It's so hard. It's not like the old days where we could dress up and just go see them. And they start talking like this. And so they jump on the computer. And before you know it, they're looking at new cars that they can't actually afford. But they're just dreaming. And they're entertaining, or their purpose is entertaining them to find a way to do nothing. And those people often get to the end of their day and they just shut off two emails. And then you go, how's your job hunting going? And they're going, oh, brilliant. I've been emailing people every day and it sounds all good. But the truth is their purpose is driving their life. And that's a deed. That should not be a person's purpose. But that's a deed that they take comfort in and they start to outwork in their life. And actually, it's a very simple, practical example. But everything in our life can be like this. A business can be like the looking to get love in your world could be like this, or acceptance in your world, where you wake up every morning, you literally start thinking and devising plans to get people to accept you. So you pull out your phone, you jump on Facebook, and you think of the best quote in the world, and you put it on your Facebook, and then you watch it all day, and you look for the likes. And what we are driven by the purpose of acceptance. But these things are not designed to be a human being's purpose. The will of God is designed to be our purpose. And so what is happening is the enemy is taking us off the purposes of your whole life, the purpose of your destiny and the destiny that you could affect in other people. He is taking you off your purpose and he's filling it with purposes of the flesh. And that's what's happening. And Daniel said, I draw a line in the sand. And I will fast the things of this world. I will fast all the wine given to me and all the great foods. And I will go to what looks like the worst thing, fruit and veggies. But really, I'm training myself because I have a higher call. Who knows today that you have a higher call for your life? And so we need to draw a line in the sand and say, I will not hunger and I will not thirst for the things of this world, but I will hunger and I will thirst for the things of God, for righteousness and for the word of God. Because this is the true bread that will leave you satisfied, Jesus said, direct quote right there. Have you ever heard of blood-borne pathogens? Has anyone ever heard of this? So pathogens, I didn't know this, but pathogens means a disease, blood-borne disease. And there's diseases that if a person has it in their blood, and you have like a little, could I just have a drink of water? If you just have like a paper cut and you come in contact with that person, the disease in their blood can transfer over to you. And it's a vital thing. It's a real issue. It's a real problem. Now, that's pretty easy to understand because we can imagine blood and we can see that things can transfer like that. But what about the soul? What about your soul? Did you know that there are businesses that there are people and their whole focus in life is to put a paper cut into your soul. We see this through the internet. We see this through gossip. We see this through advertising and the news and everything out on social media. And the idea is if they can get a paper cut, that the blood or that spiritual thing will be able to transfer into your life. And that would become the purpose of your life. If anyone in this room is struggling with addiction, that's what addiction is. It's a paper cut. And that thing is affecting you and you're getting hungry for those things. There is a disease that has been transferred. But the truth is the blood that we want to affect us is the blood of Jesus Christ that heals us from these things, that these stripes are to set us free. The blood of Jesus Christ has the life source, and that's the only thing that we want to be affected by. There are businesses designed for this. When we hunger and lust for such things, they become our purpose. And if you struggle with any of these things, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You wake up in the morning and your mind goes straight to, God, help me be an overcomer today. And you're literally spending your whole life, your whole day in fighting this disease in your world. But the way the Holy Spirit counsels us is he gives us this understanding that if we just rely on him, almost like ignore that thing and turn our direction towards God, and we start focusing on the things of God. In other words, our purpose starts to be to outwork the will of God in our life. We will see the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus come and wash that thing away. It's a trick of the enemy that thing would stay the center of your day, that would stay the center of your mind. But today I pray that your mind would be released and washed as you get purpose into your life. It could be a hunger for money, could be a hunger for success in your business, could be a hunger for love, a hunger for things, a hunger for acceptance. But the only hunger that will satisfy your life and your will is a hunger for God and his word. Do you believe that today? You know, the second thing that Daniel teaches us through the life of his life is to have a dependence on God, a dependence on God. So he drew a line in the sand and he said, I will not hunger for the things of this world, but I will hunger for righteousness. I will hunger for my God. But he also drew a line in the sand of dependence. I will not be dependent on the things of this world, but I'll be dependent on God, on who God is. In chapter 2 of Daniel, we have King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream. He calls all these magicians and astrologers and sorcerers. He calls them all together and asks them to interpret the dream, but none of them could. Who knows that anything of this world is not the answer to your life? God is. And so our dependence is to be on God. And so Nebuchadnezzar made this great, great command that he would kill all the wise men. So that meant Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. So that wasn't good. So Daniel just went and he pleaded and he said, would you give me the opportunity to interpret your dream? Could you imagine the anxiety in that moment, the slight righteous fear? I mean, if I was Daniel, I would have been shaken at the knees. But you're trying to save your life, right? I imagine that Daniel got on his knees and he said these words. He said, God, we are in real trouble. I don't have the dreams. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the books. Does anyone else ever feel like this? I don't have it. I don't have what I need. When I go to work tomorrow, I don't know what to say. You know, I don't know. I mean, me and Mel with our kids, like, honestly, they come to us and we just look at each other sometimes and go, well, I don't know. I've never done this before. And she's like, I don't know. And I'm like, well, I thought you knew everything. Women know everything. Like, you know, we sometimes you just got no idea, right? We don't know how to live this life. And this was where Daniel was at. And he just said, God, I have no idea. I've read so many books. I've read all the theology books. I read your Bible cover to cover. I read it backwards. I start from the middle. I do Proverbs and Psalms. I try and get all the wisdom, but really, I just got no idea. Or maybe you're like me, you read the Bible a lot and then you close it and you forget what you even read. And sometimes, you know, God, I've been praying for years and I just don't know what to do. This is where Daniel was at. He's, God, what do we do? They're going to literally kill, execute all the wise men. Well, that's not very wise when you get rid of the wise men. So God gave him the answers. God gave Daniel the dream. And I want to say this. Hang on. Hang on. Keep praying. Keep believing. Even if it's 21 years before you see the dream and you get your building. Maybe you've lived praying for something for 21 years. Faith. The ground of faith. It doesn't shake in fear. It shakes in anticipation. Because it knows the promise of God is coming. Faith. Unwavering. The things of this world try and take you out, shake your business, shake your finances. But faith holds on. Daniel placed his faith in God, his dependence in God. God gave him the answers. So Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar and he says, what I'm about to tell you has nothing to do with my knowledge, with my learning, has nothing to do with my wisdom and my education, but it has everything to do with God's wisdom. And now I will unfold the dreams. Can I say this morning? That sometimes we think we should know the answers. Sometimes even you take a step of faith. I've got to be honest, I do this all the time. You take a step of faith. Who was here last Sunday in the second service? You heard the word given. That's exactly what this was. I wrote it down, had no idea. There's no divine, you know, God in a deep voice talking to me or anything like that. But I took a step of faith and I thought I had the words to speak. And then when I opened my mouth, God filled my mouth with words. This is faith. And maybe for you, you've been praying for someone, a neighbor or a friend. I feel like there's someone here this morning and you've been praying for a neighbor. Specifically, for a long time. Never give up hope. The very first day you prayed, that simple prayer, God, would you touch my name? That very first day, you need to know that all of heaven moved at your command, your prayer. All of heaven moved. Angels were sent out. The spirit realm went into battle and they have been fighting. And maybe it seems to you like it's been forever and God has. But in God's sphere of life, there is no time. So for you, you've been waiting for 21 years, so to speak. You have been waiting for 10 years. You've been waiting for 3 or 4 years. But God's just been in this continual battle, breaking the powers of principalities and powers of darkness and bringing light into your situation. Can I say, don't give up on the brink of a miracle, but let your faith be the foundation and remain faithful and every day continue to pray. As Daniel prayed, God gave him the answer. And when you open your mouth one day at work or when you're talking to your neighbor, in that split second, in that instant, God will fill your mouth and you will have divine words that will be the key that will unlock the door in that person's life. Never give up prayer, because your prayer, that faith that you stand on, is the power that, or the faith that God needs, so His power will move and fill your mouth. The Bible says, don't be worried about what to wear or about what to say, because the Holy Spirit, does anyone in this room believe in the Holy Spirit? I think we all do. The Holy Spirit will fill your mouth with the words that will be powerful and that will split a rock so water can flow out and feed a nation. Amen. You believe that? Do you believe today? Do you believe today that this can happen in your life? Let me say this again. I want you to respond. Can you respond to this? Bit of faith here. Do you, church, believe today that this can happen in your life? I'm going to say it again because I want faith to build in this room. Today, church, do you believe that this can happen in your life? I want to hear this morning. Church, do you believe not just in Moses' life, not just in the pastor's life, not just in the church, the greater church, do you believe that the Holy Spirit can fill your mouth with the divine words this morning? Because He can and He will. He can and He will. Because here's the thing. He wants, I'm not even going to get to the third point this morning. I want to stop here, but here's the thing. If the church doesn't pray, nobody will. If you and I don't speak, nobody will. So every time you speak, you better be sure that the Holy Spirit is on the tips of His toes, right on the edge, and He can't wait. And He's literally just leaning over and going, Father God, is today the day I get to fill their mouth with divine, power-filled words? Let me say that every time you open your mouth, every time you're on your knees and you're praying, every time you're interceding, every time seniors, I love the seniors in this church. Can we put our hands together for the seniors? Amazing people. Every time the seniors come and they pray for you and I. You know, every time I see my mother walking this church, praying before you even come. I just see that the Holy Spirit is on the edge and He's going, Father God, is today the day revival comes to City Point North? Is today the day when the church shouts out in faith during the songs that we fill them and we give them what they're really hungering for? Is today the day that, like Daniel, he didn't take the things of the world? In City Point North, they have been rejecting the things of the world, but are we going to give them the answer to that vision today? Are we going to fill their mouth with that hope, the answer of that hope today? And I tell you, all of heaven, never ever allow yourself to believe that all of heaven doesn't back you. Never. I tell you what, the enemy's plan is to take this hope and this faith out of righteous people. That's his plan. But the Word of God is our foundation. Amen. Do you believe that in your life? The Word of God was Daniel's foundation. This is where our purpose comes from. And today, this is what... Could we just all close our eyes? Father, I just pray over this church right now. Father, we've been reading this Word for years. We've been praying all the right prayers. We've been doing the right things. We even lift our hands in praise and worship. Sometimes, God, we jump and we try and be cool and young and fit in. We do all this stuff. But Father, I pray over this church right now that we would have eyes to see today and ears to hear that the purpose of our lives is to fulfill the will of God in our life. This means to build the house of the Lord on planet Earth. This means to share the gospel throughout all the world, our worlds. This means to pursue righteousness. This means to allow the Bible govern our lives, not our opinions. This means that, God, we will lean on You. Our dependence will be on You and not on the things of this world, because our purpose to life, Father, there's business people here this morning. Let me say this, because this is a big one. Your business is not your purpose. Your business is designed to outwork your purpose. The will of God on your life is your purpose. To be an example of Christ, to live out the Word of God, to share the gospel through your business, whatever sphere of life you have. That's your purpose, and your business is designed to help you outwork that. College students, stay-at-home parents, all these things that we do, let me tell you today, these aren't your purpose. The will of God is the purpose for your life. The purposes of God is the purpose of your life. And these are to help you outwork that. Father, I just pray that that would be solidified in people's hearts here today. In your mighty, mighty name. Amen.